Okay. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning class at the Young Israel of Woodmere. Okay, let me just tell you the schedule, okay? There's obviously shiur today. Baruch Hashem, here we are. There is shiur next week. Yes, June 23rd, there is shiur. Then we're off for 2 weeks. The Young Israel of Woodmere based Medrash program. This is as per Rabbi Schachter's schedule, okay? Please mark your calendars. June 30th, there is no shiur. July 7th, there is no shiur. Then we resume on July 14th, and that's the Young Israel of Woodmere summer 6-week program, okay? So please do come back next week. Yes, June 23rd. No shiur June 30th. No shiur July 7th. Resume Be'ezrat Hashem July 14th. Good? Okay, fine. Okay, this week's parsha is Parshas Baha'aloscha in Chutz La'aretz. We are going to be focusing on Parsha, but I want to begin by noting that this past Tuesday, which corresponds to 15 Sivan, 2 days ago, was the 8th Yahrzeit of Gilad, Ayal, and Naphtali. I'm sure that we all viscerally and totally remember the traumatic, horrific events of the summer 2014, when the three teenagers, 16, 16, and 19 years old, were kidnapped by Hamas terrorists, Yimach Shmam v'Zichram. B'chasdei Hashem, their remains were found 18 days later in a makeshift grave, if you will, on the outskirts of Chevron after an intensive search by the IDF, police forces, special units, and civilians as well, round-the-clock searching. They were zocha to be brought to Kavur Yisraelis. The events of the kidnapping sparked and launched Mivtza Tzok Eitan, the war of the summer of 2014. 66 Israeli soldiers were killed during that war. In addition, 6 civilians were killed in addition to the 66 soldiers whose lives were lost. Additionally, that means it is 8 years since Hadar Golden, Hashem Yinkom Damo, and Oron Shaul, Hashem Yinkom Damo, were killed by Hamas terrorists, dragged through a tunnel, and their remains have not been returned. Hadar Golden was a 23-year-old chatan to be married. Oron Shaul was 20 or 21 years old, and their bodies have not been returned. This is from the website. When I was preparing this year and doing some research, there is a website. It's called HadarGoldenFoundation.org, all one word, HadarGoldenFoundation.org. So this is from the website. Hadar Golden, a lieutenant in the Givati Brigade of the IDF, was a Jewish patriot, humanitarian, and artist. He was only 23 years old when he was killed on August 1st, 2014, by Hamas terrorists. Hadar was a remarkably gifted young man, a happy and lively person with an easy and winning smile. He was an accomplished painter and a graphic artist. By the way, I did not know that. If you go to his website, HadarGoldenFoundation.org, you will see samples of his paintings. He had beautiful, beautiful, like on large canvases, exquisitely beautiful paintings. He was an accomplished painter and graphic artist who addressed both secular and religious themes in his artwork. He was an inspiration to all who knew him. Again, this is all from the website. I'm quoting verbatim. He was a people person. He firmly believed in and preached the importance of sharing joy and friendship amongst all people. Together with his twin brother, Tzur, they embroidered on the belts of their rifles the words strength and humility, in an effort to define the characteristics of a Jewish fighter who had the courage to use his weapon with strength when needed, but the humility to restrain from using it in favor of peace. Hadar's favorite prayer for peace and understanding of all people was Adarabba. It's a very famous section of the lengthy tefillah from Rav Elimelech of the Zinks, Zkuscho Yagen Aleinu. And the tefillah goes, this is all from the website. It's written there in the original Hebrew, Adarabba. This was Hadar's favorite prayer. Tein bilibeinu shenira kol echad ma'alot chaveirenu v'lo chesronam. just the opposite, God. Please put into our hearts that every person should see the milos, how do you translate milos, the positive attributes of their friends, and we should not see their deficiencies. We shouldn't see their chisronos. And every person should speak with his fellow in a pleasing way that is appeasing and appealing before you. There should not be any hatred, one man to his friend, God forbid. Strengthen us, please, with love towards you. Like it is revealed and known before you. Everything should be done in a pleasing way before you. Amen. This is all what I just read. The words about Hadar, his personality, his paintings, his position in the army, his favorite prayer. If you go to the website, you will see it all there. At the top of the website is a banner, like a ticker. And what it says is, if you look and you see on each page, on the top is this banner. And what it says is, bring Hadar home, a time in captivity of Hamas. At the time that I was preparing this year, it was 2,870 days, 15 hours, 5 minutes and 48 seconds, and it's constantly going up because with each second, the ticker goes up. As of yesterday afternoon, when I was re-reviewing and adding some more material to the shiur, was already prepared last week, as of Wednesday afternoon, the ticker then read, so remember, last week it was 2,870 days, 15 hours, 5 minutes, 48 seconds. As of Wednesday afternoon, it is, bring Hadar home, time in captivity of Hamas. 2,875 days, 12 hours, 52 minutes, and 57 seconds. On August 4th, 2014, during Operation Protective Edge, also known as Mivtza Tzok Eitan, 2 hours after Hamas agreed to a ceasefire, terrorists ambushed 3 Israeli soldiers from a tunnel located in the house of a basement in the Gaza Strip. The terrorists killed 2 of the soldiers. They shot Hadar Golden, a lieutenant in the Givati Brigade, which is an elite combat unit in the IDF. He was dragged through the tunnel in order to kidnap him. Tragically, Hadar, it says on the website, was a victim of the UN, Yimach Shmam, and US brokered ceasefire, which was cynically violated by Hamas. Hamas continues to hold Hadar's body, presumably as a bargaining chip to extract political or military concessions in future conflicts with the state of Israel. Hamas is also holding the remains of Oron Shaul, another soldier who was killed in Operation Protective Edge. If Hadar has been in captivity for 2,875 days, 12 hours, 52 minutes and 57 seconds, that means it is that many days, that many hours, that many minutes, and that many seconds that his parents have no idea of their son's whereabouts, and they do not even have a Kavura Yisraelis where they can go to visit Davin and take some consolation by his grave. Hadar was a remarkably gifted young man, a painter, graphic artist, a poet, an inspiration to all who knew him. The Golden and Shaul families have experienced the unspeakable pain of not only losing a beloved son in war, but the additional agony of not being able to bury his body in their hometowns and their lands. The families have committed themselves to recovering the bodies of their sons and at least providing them with the burial in Israel that they deserve. I'm going to share an insight with you that Rabbi Shai Shachter shared with me personally a number of months ago. Did not hear him say it in a shir. He told it over to me. And it's tremendously powerful and very moving, and I've never even presented it over yet. We know that when the brothers go down to Egypt to get food, we know that the Rashi, it's Rashi 2, Sefer Bereishis Perak, Okay, can I have your chumash for a second? What I wanted to say is that Binyamin has 10 sons, okay? I'm going to open it up and find the pasuk and quote it for you. When the brothers go down to Egypt, we know that Binyamin has 10 sons. How do we know that? Because Rashi tells us to Mem Gimel Lamed. One second. I just want to make sure I'm quoting it right. Mem Gimel Lamed. Yes. Okay. And Parak Mem Gimel Pasuk Lamed of Sefer Bereishis, Kma Yemeher Yosef, Ki Nichmu Rachamav Elachiv, Vayivakesh Livkosk, Vayavo HaChadara, Vayev Shama. So Yosef is hurrying. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I was going to give it back to you. Thank you. Yosef is hurrying because he feels that his mercy, his compassion is stirred towards brothers, but he's not ready yet to reveal himself, and he realizes he wants to cry, so he goes into a side room, and he cries there. And Rashi tells us, why was his mercy aroused? Why is his mercy at this point aroused? Okay? So, Sha'elo, Yesh Lecha Ach Me'em Amarlo, Ach Hayali Ve'enu Yodea Heichanu. He asked Binyamin, do you have a brother from your mother? So he said, well, I do. I did have a brother from my mother, but I don't know what happened to him. Yesh lecha banim. So then the viceroy said, oh, you don't know where your brother is. Do you have children? Amar lo, yesh li asara. He said, yes, I do have children. I have 10 children. Amar lo, umashmam. And he said, oh, what are the names of your children? So he said, Bela, ubechar. Amar lo, mativan, shoshemos halalu. So first the viceroy says to Binyamin, do you have a brother? Brother from your mother. So he says, I do, but I don't know what happened to him. Then he says, do you have children? He says, I have 10 children. So he says, what are the names of your children? So he starts to tell them the names of his children. And he said, Kulam al shem achi, vahatsaros asher matzo. All my 10 children are named for my brother and the troubles that befall him. And then Rashi tells you, Belash and Nivla ben ha'umos, swallowed up. The name Bela is because he was swallowed amongst the nations of the world. Becher, shahaya bechor li'imo. He's called Becher because he was the first to his mother. Ashbel, Sheshav O'el, he is called Ashbel because he was taken captive. Okay, it goes through all the names. Garash and Isgayer, Ba'achsanya. It goes through all the names. But Binyamin at this point has 10 sons. That's Rashi to Bereishis Mem Gimel Lamed. And then, interestingly, when you go to Parshas Vayigash, and Yehuda is imploring the viceroy to release Binyamin back. So he says to the viceroy, you can't keep Binyamin here. Why does he say you cannot keep the youngest son here? What reason does he give that you can't keep him here? This is, everyone knows this. Oh, hey, he says you can't keep him here because we have an old father. Va'acha kivoi al avdecha aviva hanar einenu itanu. I skipped a perek mem dalet. V'nafsho kshura b'nasho. If we go back up to your servant, our father, we have an old father, and he sees that the boy is now with us. By the way, the boy has 10 children at this point. He's not such a boy. V'nafsho kshura b'nafsho. His soul will be tied to his soul. V'hayar kir also ki ein hanar v'meis. It will be when he sees that the lad has not come back with us, he'll mamish die, and you will take the hoariness of your servant, our father, down alive to the grave. Me, meaning your servant Yehuda, I guaranteed the boy from father. I said, if I don't bring him back to you, I'll sin to father all my days. Let me, Yehuda, stay instead of this boy. I'm better in all matters. Anyway, okay. What argument does he give that he needs to take Binyamin back? The argument that he needs, that he needs to take Binyamin back is, father will die. Why didn't he say he has 10 children? They need their father. Parnasa, Chinuch, Shabbos table, Birkas Habanim, Chazering the Gemara, going out to work, taking out the garbage. How could the house run without the father? He should have said he has 10 children at home that need their father. He should not have said he's an old man. You know what the way of the world is? People age after 120, they go to the next world. Why would this stir Yosef's, the viceroy's, compassion that there's an old father in him? Remember, he doesn't know it's Yosef. If you know it's Yosef, so that's a different story. But he doesn't know it's Yosef. He's trying to come up with a raya that this child needs to go home. So you should say he has 10 sons. Wouldn't that stir his compassion more? Rabbi Shai Shachter told me something so powerful, so, I don't know who he was quoting, astute, so gewaldic, so important, and so painful. The way of the world is that children lose parents. Should be after 120, but that's the normal fashion of the world. The normal way of the world is the child buries the parent. So even though Binyamin had 10 sons, they would recover. Because that's a normal way of the world. They'll bury their father, they'll sit Shiva, they'll go through Avedos, and then they'll pick up and they rebuild. So it's not a raya that there are 10 children at home that need their father. But when a parent loses a child, Rachmana Litzlan, or a part of the child, It could be physically or metaphysically, God forbid. In this situation, the parent can never fully recover. When Hadar Golden and Oren Shaul, Hashem Yinkum Damam, have not been returned, we weren't talking about the captives of the missing IDF of soldiers, but I am applying this insight to this matzav, that when these soldiers have never been returned yet, and it is 8 years, if the Yahrzeit of the three boys was this past Tuesday, it sparked the war of the summers in the English calendar, 2022, because a parent can never fully recover, ever, from when the tie to the child is severed, when the child, Rachmana Litzlan, is lost. And therefore, Yehuda was able to say, he has a father who will die. It doesn't matter how old the father is or what age the father is. No matter how old he is, the parent can never return, recover, fully rejuvenate from the loss, Rachmana Litzlan, of the child. We now, with that as our introduction, go to Parshas Baha'alosha. Since you gave me your Chumash, I guess I will use that one so I could tell everyone what page you're on. I was going to use my small one, but that is helpful. Okay, if you could please open up to Parshas Baha'alosha, Perek Yod of Bamidbar. When I find it, I'll tell you what page it's on. Perek Yod. Okay, Perek Yod, Pasuk Yod Aleph. I just want to find it. It's page 782. Okay, page 782 in these Chumashim. We're in Perek Yod, Pasuk Yod Aleph. It's very important to remember that in Parshas Baha'alosha, Am Yisrael is preparing to finally journey to Eretz Yisrael. They have been by Har Sinai since last year, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. They arrived there at the beginning of Perek Yotas in Sefer Shemos, Bachodesh HaShlishi. Let's say it's B'nai Yisrael Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Bachodesh HaZeh Ba'u Midbar Sinai. So they came there last year. Now we are in Chodesh Iyar of the next year, and we are ready to leave Har Sinai. So we've been there for a very long time. A lot happened by Har Sinai, besides with the revelation at Sinai, and then the Chet Ha'ega, and then Moshe Davins, and then Salachti Kivarecha, and then the second Luchos, and then building the Mishkan, and Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which was last week's parsha, the inauguration of the Mishkan. Finally, we're ready to leave. Vayhi Perek Yod Pasuk Yod Aleph. Vayhi B'shana Sheni, B'chodesh Sheni, B'Asrim B'chodesh. So we now have the timeline. We're in the second year from Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're in the second month, which we call Iyar. We're in the 20th day. Na'alah Ha'anan Me'al Mishkan Ha'edu. So when the cloud lifts up, that's a sign that it's time to journey. Okay? At the very, very end of Sefer Shemos, when the Mishkan is completed, so we are told that there was a Anan by day and a Eshti a Laila bo Le'ene Kol Beis Yisrael. We are told that there was an Anan on the Mishkan by day. There was fire by night before the eyes of all of Israel. So when the cloud lifts, it's a sign that it's time to journey forward. Vayisu b'nei Yisrael, look at this. They're journeying Lamaseha min Midbar Sinai. They finally leave Midbar Sinai. And the cloud rests in Midbar Paran. They're getting ready to go. Vayisu b'rishona, al pi Hashem b'yad Moshe. And now it tells you how they went. Now remember, there's Machane Shechina, where the Mishkan is in the middle. Machane Leviya, where Shevet Levi's around, including the Kohanim, because they're from Shevet Levi. And then Machane Yisrael. Now you can't have a stampede. You can't have a great conglomeration of people, probably said it wrong, all going together. There needs to be some Seder, some order. So there's four sides. East is the front, by the way. West is the back. North and south are the sides. So it's very, we all know, there are 12 tribes. So each side has three tribes camping. So they go in a certain Seder. They go in a certain order, and it's very organized and it's orderly. So that's what the next psukim tell you. We're not going to go through it, not that they're not important, but just because we don't have time, the next psukim are telling you how they're going to travel. Pasuk Chavtas. The bottom of page 784 in this Chumash. Vayomer Moshe l'chove ben Ruah HaMidyani. Chosein Moshe. No sima nachnu ala makam asher amar Hashem oso etein lachem. And Moshe says, his father-in-law, Rashi tells you, has seven names. Rashi says, who Yisro, Shanemar, B'bnei Chovav, Chosein Moshe. He is, Chovav is Yisro. He is also Reuel. Why is he called Chovav? Chibei Basatorah, he loved the Torah. Yisro, he added a parsha to Torah. Okay. So we were just in the Rashi where Binyamin's sons have 10 names, so they have a lot of names here. And Yisro has seven names. So Lamaisa, Moshe says to Yisro, his father-in-law, Perhaps two of the most tragic words in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Nosim Anachnu. We are journeying. Al Hamakom Asher Amar Hashem Oso Eitein Lachem. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. L'chai, Tani, you should come with us. V'heitavnu lach, ki Hashem dibir tov, Yisrael, you know what? All good comes from Eretz Yisrael. You should come with us. We are going to Eretz Yisrael. Look at Rashi, nosim anachnu al hamakom. I'm in Perek Yud Pasuk Chof Tes. Thank you for the Chumash. Miyad! You know when we're going to Eretz Yisrael? Not next year. Not in 38 years. Not in 2,000 years after Churban. Miyad! When am I going to Eretz Yisrael? Right now! Ad shlosha yamim anachnu nichrasin Eretz. In 3 days we're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. Shebemasa ze'arisho nasu amanas likhanes Eretz Yisrael. Because on this journey, remember, this is the first journey. Okay? We didn't get into any trouble yet. Things are going all according to plan. We left Egypt, physical redemption. We crossed the Yam Suf, the Egyptians drowned. We came to Matan Torah, spiritual redemption. Spiritual redemption. A little blip on the screen. That's a slight exaggeration. Or under-exaggeration. Under-exaggeration. So, Chet HaEgel, but Hashem forgave them, and Moshe Davin, second Luchos, build the Mishkan, get all the mitzvos, Givaldik. Where are we going? Eretz Yisrael. Miyad. In 3 days, we're going to be there. Aminas likhanes Eretz Yisrael, elo shechatu b'misonanim. But then you come to Perek Yud Aleph, which we are not learning in today's shiur. And if you look in Perek Yud Aleph, that's really the beginning of the end. Vayi am kimisonanim ra ba'aznei Hashem, vayishma Hashem, vayicha afo, vativar bam ish. So they start complaining, they're looking for pretexts. Umipnei ma, I'm still in Rashi, umipnei ma shatav Moshe asmi mahem. Why does Moshe say, we are journeying, no sim anachnu? Moshe should say, they are going to the land. I'm dying in Arvus Moav. She'adayin lo nigzra gzeira alav v'kasavur shehu nichnas. The gzeira was not yet decreed against him, and he was certain that he was going into Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Lamed. Vayomer elav lo eleich. And he says, no, thank you. I'm going back to my land. I'm going back to my birthplace. And Moshe says, no, really. Good model for children, in-law relationships. Moshe says, please come. Yisro says, no, thank you. Moshe says, no, please don't leave. You know our encampments in the desert. You'll be a scout for us. Sometimes an objective set of eyes sees things a subjective person does not see. It'll be if you will go with us, that the good that's coming to us will be good for you too. Interestingly, that the Torah does not tell us Yisro's ultimate decision, so it's ambiguous. But Lemaisa, they journey. They journey from the mountain of God for 3 days. The manager says, "Ketina chaboreach mi beit sefer." Ketina ketinok chaboreach mi beit sefer. This was really their first sin, that they ran away like a child runs out of school. Thank God, there's no more mitzvos. How fast could we get out of here? But the pshat is that they journey. Va'aron bris Hashem noseir lifneim derech shloshes yamim lasur lahem menucha, and the ark of God goes before them for 3 days to scout out rest. Va'anan Hashem aleim yomav, they have the divine protection. And now you see these upside down, famous upside down nuns. Vayhi bin soa ha'aron vayomer Moshe, kumo Hashem v'yafutzu oyvecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha. It was as the ark journeyed forth. Moses said, arise, God, your enemies will scatter, and you, those who hate you will run away from before you. Remember, they're going into Eretz Yisrael, so they're going to be conquering 7 Canaanite nations. So what do we need to do? Aron bris Hashem, which is going 3 days ahead of them, should scatter the enemies from before them. Uvenucho yomar, and when it came to rest, we say about the Aron bris Hashem, Shuvah Hashem revavos alfa Yisrael. Shuv Hashem, return God amongst the myriad thousands of Israel. You have these two upside down nuns, and then you have Perikid Al Pasukav, which is a quote, pasuk that I already quoted, and the nation were like those seeking pretext, bad in the ears of God. God heard, he was very angry, and a fire burned against them. So these upside down nuns are very, very famous kasha. What are they doing here in this passage? I'm going to give you four different answers for the upside down nun. Okay? Three, I'm quoting from the Sefer, short and sweet on the Parsha, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Bregman. So, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Bregman says, one, he quotes Rabbeinu Bachya, none equals 50. By the way, don't laugh at me, but I also heard Rabbi Zav Lef say this. Okay, but first, the Pshir was prepared before I heard Rabbi Lef say it. Rabbeinu Bachya says that none equals 50. We know that the Kmatri of none is 50. I just thought of something. So tell us, you're saying. Oh, I just thought of something. Very nice. There are two nuns. So nun times two is 100. I mamish just thought of something. One second. One second. Okay, nun is 50. There are two upside down nuns. That equals 100. The Bala Turim, the great tour, the Bala Turim says, in his commentary to Bereishis, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Aleph, Hashem told Moshe, Lachacha, maybe Perek Aleph Yud Beis Beis, Lachacha, may Arzucha, Mladacha, may Beis Avicha, Arzor Sharaka. Hashem told Abram to go. And the Baal Turim says, what's the significance of lech lecha? A double lech. Lech lecha in gematria is 100. Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Aleph, like I said, okay? Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Aleph, lech lecha, lamed and lamed, chaf and chaf, 30, 30, 60, chaf is 40, 60 and 40 is 100. So the Baal Turim says that Avram Avinu walked after Hashem for 100 years. He was 75 years old and he was commanded to leave and go to Canaan. He was 175 when he died. So the Baal Turim says that for 100 years he walked after God. But where was he journeying? He began the journey that was to be brought to fruition through his children. The Lechacham, the Artscham, the Ladacham, the Besavich, Artsasher Araka, Sefer Bereishis is known as four appellations. Sefer Bereishis, Sefer Yitzira, Sefer Yashar, and Sefer Hasimanim. Because the Ramban, Teperik Yud Beis Pasuk Vav, tells us, Komashi Yiral Avos, Simon Abanim. Everything that occurred to our forefathers is a sign for their children. So the Lechacham of Ram Avinu, which is 100 Gematria, as per the Baal Turim, is the journey not only of Avram Avinu, one person, the journey of an entire nation. Kol Masha Yirala Avo Siman Lebanim. Everything that happened to the forefathers is a foreshadowing for their children. So if Avram was commanded lechacha, it was a sign not only for himself, but it was a sign for his children to do what? Lechacha, may arzacha, mimoladetcha, leave your land of Egypt, leave where you were born, leave Beis Avicha. This whole generation was born in Egypt. They were in Egypt for 210 years. Allah aratz asher araka. What happens when they mess up? What happens when they start complaining? What happens when they complain about the tircha of the road? What happens when they reject the land? They invert the journey of what? 100. They do not bring to fruition the lachach of Avraham Avinu. How is that signified in two upside down nuns? Because nun equals 50 and 50 is 100. If Avram's journey began with 100, what happens here is, remember, what does Kenosha say? When are we going into Eretz Yisrael? Miyad. Right now. 3 days we're going to be there. Let's say Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday night, we're all going to be in Eretz Yisrael. And then what happens? They invert, halavai, they invert the journey because it's 100 and they invert Avraham Avinu's lechacha. But what I was thinking when you were awashkum and then you started laughing is that it's even cooler. Because if you think of the Aleph Beis, Gimel Dalet Hei, Vav Zayin Ches Tes Yod, Chaf, Lamed, those are the letters of lech. Mem Nun. Okay, so Chaf and Lamed is the Lech Lecha that they inverted. Mem stands for Moshe's name because his personal journey was inverted, and Nun is the 50s that were turned upside down.
Mem is also
So you know, I'm just going to reiterate that it's impossible to say that a human being wrote the Torah. Like, it's literally mamish impossible to say that this is not divine. You can't make these things up. So some people look confused. So I'm going to say it again, okay? When you look at the Alpes, because you know, not only are words and gematrias, like my brother Rabbi Dov Free taught me many years ago, you have to know who came up with the gematria. If a kofer comes and tells you a gematria, so you shouldn't even be talking to them about any Divrei Torah in the first place. But if they tell you a gematria, so of course you should be a little suspicious. If the Baal Torah, my brother says, he was the Rishon, the Halacha, the Torah, if he writes a perush on Torah, then that gematria is absolutely MS. If lachacha is 100, as per the Balaturim, they invert the journey of kol mashiyir la'avos simon labanim. How do we know that? These upside down nuns are like stop signs, but they specifically equal 100 because the journey was inverted, not only for the nation, but for Moshe Rabbeinu personally. And Parakid Aleph, El Adoni Moshe Kil Aim, Yoshua comes running and he says, oh my God, Moshe, put Eldon made it into jail. You're not going to believe it, Mr. Snabim Benachana, Eldon and Medad are having Nevu in the camp. What are they saying? Moshe Meis, the Yoshua Machnis as Yitzhak La'aretz. Knore Eldon and Medad saying it's in Baaloscha. Moshe is going to die, and Yoshua is going to take the nation into Eretz Yisrael. So Yoshua comes running and he says, my master Moshe, put an end to this nonsense. You won't believe the kfira they're saying. And Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't stop them. Moshe Rabbeinu's journey was also inverted. So if you look, what I was saying is, if you look at the Aleph base, there are four letters that follow each other. Chaf, Lamid, Mem, Nun. They're in order. This is the journey. Chaf and Lamid are the letters that spell Lech. Mem stands for Moshe, and Nun stands for the inversion of the journey to realize the destiny of Knesset. At the end, if I have questions, I will take them. Okay? At the end, if I have questions, I will take them. So that is not from Short and Sweet on the Parsha. Now we're going back to Short and Sweet on the Parsha. He says that Rabbeinu Bachi equals Nun is 50, which is when it occurred to me that there's two 50s and we went to Lachucha. Okay? So Rabbi Zevlev also said this. The seemingly correct place for these verses is 50 sections backwards from where it appears. So they're upside down to indicate that you should really know about the Aaron journeying 50 passages, 50 sections before. I don't exactly know why. I'm not even getting into it. I heard Rabbi Zevlev also quoted. That's Wamsha. Furthermore, based on something I did hear Rabbi Zevlev say, this is not from Short and Sweet in the Parasha, Rabbi Lev says in regard to, it was a pre-Shavuah Shiar, in Sefer Shemos, Perikimah Pasuk Yud Beis, okay, by the burning bush, Hashem says to Moshe, I will be with you, and this is the sign that I sent you, when I take, when you take the nation out of Egypt, ta'avdun et Elokim al haharazeh, you will worship God on this mountain. By the burning bush, Hashem told Moshe, you're going to lead the people out of Egypt, you'll worship God on this mountain. The verse is, paragimah pasuk yud beis, ta'avdun, it ends with a nun sofis, an ender nun, a nun sofi, ta'avdun. At Elohim. So Rabbi Zevlev says that nun is really superfluous. It should just say, ta'avdu at Elohim al hahar hazeh. You don't need that extra nun. Rabbi Zevlev points out that nun in Gematria is 50 to teach us that 50 days after Yitzias Mitzrayim is Matan Torah. But I'm going to apply that teaching of Rabbi Lev that nun equals 50, which is supposed to indicate Matan Torah. Perhaps we could apply it here. Why is it Davka a nun that's upside down? Because that nun of receiving the Torah becomes inverted when the people reject Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because where can you fulfill the mitzvos? Fully, completely, like a Jew is supposed to, not in Woodmere, and not in Canada, and not in Australia, and not in New Zealand. The true place where the mitzvos can be fulfilled is in Eretz Yisrael. So the ta'avdun et Elokim al ahar hazeh indicates Matan Torah 50 days after Yitzias Mitzrayim. However, that event happened. But the fact that here they invert their destiny, they reject Eretz Yisrael, is in a sense of rejection for a lot of mitzvos in the Torah. The Gemara tells us in Sota Yudal et Alf, I've quoted to you before, Mipnei Mam Nisav Moshe, Rabbeinu the Kaneis Eretz Yisrael, V'chila Echol Mipiria Hu Tzarich, V'chila Spa Mituva Hu Tzarich, Alokach Amar Moshe, Harbei Mitzvos Nitzavu Yisrael Ve'enan Miskayim in Ela Ba'aretz. Why did Moshe want to go into the land? Because he wanted to eat from the fruit. He wanted to be satiated from the goodness. He liked the chava and the katsefa. What are those things called that we had in the shuk in Adar Bet? What? Knafa. Yeah, I can't hear.
Knafa.
Knafa. Have you had knafa? Oh my gosh. That is not why Moshe wanted to go. I showed a picture of it to someone. She says, what is that, eggplant? I said, no, it is not eggplant. It's some kind of pulled dough with hot chocolate sauce and pistachios and sweet things on top. She had it on Tuesday. That's not why Moshe wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't dreaming of knafa and katzafa and challah. No, he wanted to go to do the mitzvahs. So if Nun equals 50, they inverted Asiyas HaTorah and Shmiras HaMitzvahs. Why? Because you can't keep Shemitah and Chutzarts, and you can't keep Yovel and Chutzarts, and there's no Bikurim and Chutzarts, and there's no Truma Meisher and Chutzarts, and there's no Avodas Beis HaMikdash and Chutzarts, and you can't be Olal HaRegel and Chutzarts either. You can't do any of those things. So the Nun equals 50, says Rabbi Zavlev, Ta'avdun Etel Kim Al HaHarazah. But when you reject Eretz Yisrael and you don't want to go there, in a sense, you're rejecting a large part of Torah. Now, if you can't be there, Lamaisa, so you can't be there, that's a different story. But they chose not to be there. They chose, they were complaining, oh my God, 3 days? Rashi to Perek Gedalef, it's taking so long. Hashem says, I'm trying to give you Kvitzas Adarach to get there quickly. They're complaining about the way. So far, what did we say about the Nun? 1, Nun plus Nun is 100. The reference to Lech Lecha, they inverted the journey of Avraham Avinu, who journeyed for 100 years after God. They inverted the Simon Labanim. And we said, Chof Lam in Mem Nun, Chof Lam in Arleich. Mem is Moshe, because his journey was inverted, and Nun is the 50 times 2, which becomes upside down. That's reason number 1. Reason number 2 is Rabbeinu Bachya, because the Aaron journeying should really be 50 sections before it occurs here. Reason number 3, I'm offering based on Rabbi Zavlev's Pshah in a totally different shir, but I'm applying what he said to here. He said the Nun is 50 because 50 days after Yitzhak Mitzrayim is Matan Torah. Ta'avdun et Elohim. Again, Perak Gimel Pasuk Yud Beis and Shemos. So therefore we could say, excuse me, that they inverted, excuse me, they inverted, excuse me, by rejecting Eretz Yisrael, in a sense, they rejected part of the Torah, which is represented in the Ta'avdun Et Elokim Al HaHar Hazeh. Another reason, this is from Short and Sweet on the Parsha, okay? He quotes the Maharsha. The Maharsha says that the Nun equals 50 gates of understanding. Remember, Nun is 50. So there's a lot going on with the gematria of the Nun. 50 gates of understanding. Okay? Even these two verses, says Maharsha, contain all 50 gates of understanding. In two psukim, you have all 50 gates of understanding. They're upside down to show how far we are from obtaining deep levels of understanding, even within these two verses. So we open up the Chumash, we open up a Rashi, Zuk, the Baal HaTorah, and we think, all right, so Gevaldik, we're in such deep levels. The Torah is so deep, deeper than the deepest ocean and sea. 50 levels of understanding are contained in these two verses, and we don't even begin to understand them. Okay. If you were standing next to me, Sarberg, I would show you my footnote. It says, this next one is very, could you see that it's in capital letters? Very exciting for me, because years ago, Sarah Berg and I discussed, why is it a Nun that's upside down? I proposed the following insight, and now I actually found the source for it. So I was very excited by the next one. I wrote, Baruch Shakivanti. You could come see my footnote after. Actually, I have guests from Israel at home, so I have to leave right after Shir. I have to leave right after Shir today. So I'm not going to show you the footnote, but I'm assuming that you are believing me that it's on my paper. Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz says that the Nun is connected to Maseches Brachos. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara asks a question, and why don't we say in Ashrei a pasuk for Nun? If you open up Ashrei, which is really Tehillah the David, okay, it's chapter 145 of Tehillim, Kof Mem Hei. If you open it up, you'll notice that the pasuk for Nun is missing. Okay, there's no Nun. Lodi of Ne'adam Grasov. Okay, I'm not going to go through the whole Ashrei right now. I don't have time. Okay, Machus from Machus Kol. I mean, there's no Nun. So Mech Hashem, what happened to the Nun? Where is it? So the Gemara answers with a pasuk from Sefer Amos. And the pasuk says in Sefer Amos, Perakei Pasuk Beis, that the Nun represents Nefilah, falling down. Nafla, lo tosif kun besulas Yisrael. She has fallen, the virgin daughter of Israel, she will not rise up. Nafla, lo tosif kun besulas Yisrael. the maiden, virgin daughter of Israel has fallen, she will not rise. The end of the pasuk is Nitsha al Admasa. She is cast down upon her land. Ein Mekima. There is no one to raise her up. Rav Yonasan Eibeshit says, why is it nuns that are upside down? Because the nun represents Nafla lo tosiv kun besulas Yisrael. The nun represents the fact that the virgin daughter of Israel, the purity of Knesset Israel, has fallen and she cannot rise up. Here, this is where Knesset Israel has fallen. They are rejecting Eretz Israel. They're complaining about the desert. They don't want to go in. It's one taina after another, and therefore it's nun. Sorry, I don't remember if you remember, but I remember we thought for a while why it's nun specifically. And finally, Baruch Hashem, I have found an answer that corroborates with Baruch Hashem, what we suggested many years ago. So I was very, very happy. Okay?
I remember you sent me a special text. You were so excited because you found an answer.
We were so excited. Yeah. So here we go. Rav Yonasan Eibeshit said it. The upside down nuns furthermore allude to a medrash, says Rav Yonasan Eibeshit, that Hashem is like a deer, a creature that looks behind while it's running. That's why they're upside down, to indicate looking back. Similarly, even when the Bnei Yisrael sin and Hashem has to pull away from us, He's always looking back to keep His attention focused on us. He's waiting for us. Even in flight, the nun, kaviyachol, causes God to have to run away from us. Nafla, we fall, Hashem runs. But like a deer, He's always looking back, inverted. He inverts His head, so to speak, to see if we are behind Him. Furthermore, I was thinking of something else that I never thought of before, till this year. Also, the lechecha was mamish, like, in the middle of Shir. Baruch pokeach ivrim. But I was thinking of something else. Turn back to page 784, Pasuk Chaf Tes. Okay, what's the first thing? I can't believe I never thought of it before. It just jumped out at me yesterday afternoon. It was so obvious. Okay, Pesach Chaf Tes. What is the first thing that Moshe says to Yisrael when he announces that you shall come with us? Vayomer Moshe, the Chova ben Ruah Hamidjani, Chosein Moshe, no sim anachnu. The nun is what Moshe uses in Lashon HaKodesh, the nun. I don't know the proper words to describe the grammar exactly, but the nun means the anachnu, we, the nosim, the nun of nosim, and the nun of anachnu indicate that Moshe is journeying with them. There's nun in the nun of nosim, you with me? And the nun of anachnu. Moshe doesn't say, heim yis'ula aretz ba'od shlosha yamim. He doesn't say they will journey into the land in 3 days. He says, we are going. How do you say we in Lashon HaKodesh? Anachnu nosim. We are journeying. Moshe includes himself. The nun of nosim and the nun of anachnu indicate he's journeying with them. Well, Moshe was not journeying with them. So what happens to those two nuns? They become inverted. So perhaps those two inverted nuns allude to Moshe Rabbeinu's upside down journey. The journey that was halted. His own personal nefilah, because of Knesset Yisrael. Nosim Anachnu, the nun of Nosim, and the nun of Anachnu become inverted because Moshe is not going into Eretz Yisrael, and he has to take himself out of the we, because it is no longer me who's going in with Bnei Yisrael, it will only be Bnei Yisrael going in. I want to quote a very powerful story from a very big tzaddik, Rav Avraham Yitzchak Cohen Cook, Zatzal. It happened one time, it was in the early 1900s, life in Eretz Yisrael is not like it was today. So interesting, on the Shavuos program, we went to some very, very, very interesting and different shiurim. The first Shemitah that the Olim, the wave of Olim came back, the Shivat Zion, was at the end of the 1800s. And the first Shemitah was in 1892, and the second Shemitah was in 1899. It was a shiur by Rav Ezra Schwartz, who is one of the YRush yeshivas, who I was unfortunately not familiar with before this year's Shavuos program. Tremendous Talmud Chacham. His shiurim were absolutely fascinating. I went to 2. My husband went to 3. That's because the one my husband and son went to on the halachas of cremation was at 2:00 in the morning. And Baruch Hashem, this year they didn't give me tikkun leil Shavuos for the first time, so I was not awake at 2:00 in the morning. So that they said. So my husband went to 3 of his shiurim. Just so brilliant, fascinating, fascinating. So the first shiur we went to was Shemitah Karaka and Heter Mechira. It was so fascinating.
And then the second one I went to is on Shemitah's Kesafim and Prisbal, which is not a mitzvah to Yaretz, which also applies in Chutz Arts for businesses. Okay. Very interesting. When they first, and unfortunately it's Yantif, so obviously you can't take notes, but when they first initiated Heter Mechira in modern times, which I mean is the late end of the 1800s, people were actually dying. People died because of those first Shemitah years. You couldn't ship in produce from somewhere else. There was no one to get food from. If you did not grow the land, there was nothing to eat. They were dying. Mamish dying. So therefore, some of the Rabbanim of the time came and said, Pikuach Nefesh is obviously Docha HaKol. Today, Shemitah Karka is a Dirabbanan, because it only applies when there's Yovel. There's no Yovel because the majority of Jews are living in Chutz Arts. It's a Dirabbanan, so people can't be dying. They had nothing to eat. Living in Eretz Yisrael then was not like it was today. Tel Aviv was sand dunes. Sand dunes. It was swamps. It was malaria. People starved when there was Shemitah. Mommy starved. It wasn't like it was today. In the early 1900s, there was a knock on the door of Rav Kook. And Rav Avraham Yitzchak Kohen Kook Zatzal. And a short Yemenite Jew, whose side ducks and beard were streaked with white hair, came into the room. Come near, my son, says Rav Kook. What is bothering you? Honored Rav, I have come to ask an important question. Ask, my son, ask. Who is Rav Kook paraphrasing, perhaps? Hillel. Sha'al, b'ni, sha'al. Why are the feet of the Afrikaim so wide? Why are the eyes of the Tarmodaim so slanted? It's Erev Shabbos. Hillel is trying to take a shower. And the guy keeps knocking on his door because they made a bet for 400 zoos. Who's going to be able to be Yachnit as Hillel? Whoever could annoy Hillel is going to win 400 zoos. Every time they knock on the door, Hillel's in the shower. He has to wrap himself in a towel. He says, ask, my son, ask. I think it's Shabbos, Lamed Aleph. Okay, what's bothering you, my son? Honored Rav, I have come to ask an important question. Ask, my son, ask. Sha'al, b'ni, sha'al. For 25 years, I've been working arduously from morning till night, engaging in all types of manual labor. I have removed weeds from the fields destined to have become orchards. I have planted trees. I have removed stones from the rocky soil. I have dug holes to help construct homes in Eretz Yisrael. I've invested the best of my strength in physical labor. But despite it all, I am barely able to make enough money to support my family. My question is, should I emigrate to America and try my luck there? Maybe there I will be able to support my family. Rav Kook sat quietly and contemplated. Suddenly, he rose from his chair. He pointed and he said to the man, sit here. Struck with fear, the visitor stammered, how can I sit? In the chair, Kavod HaRav, sit, said Rav Kook. Slowly and hesitatingly, the man came around the table. Completely seized by fear and trembling, he sat in the chair and fell asleep. A short while later, the man awoke. What happened? Said Rav Kook. I had a dream, said the man. And in my dream, I departed this world, and I descended to heaven. When I reached the gates of heaven, an angel directed me to the heavenly court. And there, before the one who dwells on high, stood the scales of justice. All of a sudden, horse-driven wagons began passing before me, loaded with packages of all sizes. Angels began unloading these packages and placing them on one of the scales, which buckled under the weight of all the packages. What are those packages? I said to the angels. These, son of man, are the sins and transgressions you committed during your days on earth. Everything in this world is brought to justice. I was dismayed. Suddenly, another load of wagons began to arrive. And these wagons had on them stones, rocks, dirt, and sand. The angels took all of the dirt, stones, rock, and sand. They put it on the other side of the scale. It began to descend. What are these bundles of dirt? I asked the angels. These are the rocks and the stones that your hands toiled to remove from the soil of the Holy Land. They will stand and plead on your behalf, on your account, in your share of building the land of Israel. Trembling, I watched the scales, and behold, the scale of merit got heavier and heavier. Simultaneously, it elevated the scale of guilt. Just then, the scale of merit stopped moving, and it overtook my sins. You see, my son, said Rav Kook, you received an answer to your question from heavens, and he answered no more. Rabbi Moshe D, one second, let me see what I want to tell you. One second. Okay, this is what I'm going to tell you next. I'm going to quote a letter from Hadar Golden. This is an article from April 2017, almost 3 years after Hadar was killed and captured. The parents of missing IDF soldier Lieutenant Hadar Golden will read a letter written by their son on his visit to Poland. They are going on the International March of the Living ceremony to be held in Auschwitz next week. His parents, Leia and Simcha, will be attending the annual ceremony as part of the IDF delegation. They have been chosen to read this letter. Golden wrote to his parents while he was on a high school class trip to Poland. I am sitting in a freight car in Poland, in the corner of the freight car, wrote Hadar. I don't know how many children like me and people similar to me and different than me passed through here. And they were all Jews. They were torn from their homes, from their families, their parents and their children. They did not know where they were being sent. They did not know to where they were going. But I want to tell you, my parents, because of you, I know where I am going. I am going to the State of Israel, my country and our country. And thanks to you, I understand what this country gives me, but I understand what I need to give to the country. And when I look inward, I know I have the strength to go above and beyond, wrote Hadar. I need to be honest. I need to be fair. I need to be smart. I need to be, he quotes Pirkei Avos, b'makom she'ein ish, hishtadel li'os ish. And to be a human being with friends at school to succeed, to be the best as possible, to represent and defend my country in the IDF, and always with the tools you have given me. Everything I see in Poland brings me back to you, to my grandmother's, to Tsur, his twin brother, to his other siblings. We are walking the triumph of the Jewish people, a tremendous undertaking I am willing to undertake upon myself, because from the second I have been born, you've instilled this in me. I am going to get off the freight car now. Like many Jews like me, they walked the last journey and died for the sanctification of God's name. I walk out of here on the path they ordered me to grow from the dust. Vayomer Moshe the Chovev ben Reuel HaMidjani. Chosein Moshe. Nosim anachnu el hamakom asher amar Hashem. Oso etein lachem. We are going to Eretz Yisrael. Do you want to join our journey? Lecha itanu, you should really come with us. Ve'heitavnu lach, it'll be good for you there. Ki Hashem diber tov al Yisrael. Because Hashem has spoken good for Israel. We have to know where we're going. We have to know where we came from. We have to know where we are. And we have to hopefully always be marching forward. Even if, for whatever reason, we have not yet reached our ultimate destination. And in some sense, those nuns, Rahman al-Itzlan, are still inverted. You have to know where you're going and where your destination is. I'm getting off the freight car now, like so many Jews before me. But they got off and died in the sanctification of God's name. I will get off and live. And I will live sanctifying God's name. We have to know where we are going, even if we are not there yet. Instead of just quoting Rabbi Laura Jonathan Sacks, I gave it to you on the handout. It is so powerful. There's a handout on the Bima. I took out Hashem's name. Can you see my screen? I put on the screen for you. Yes? Hello? Can you nod if you see my screen? Paula Spodek, yes? Thank you. This is so powerful. Rabbi Laura Jonathan Sacks says, what was and is unique about Israel? It is the sole place on earth where Jews have had the chance to create an entire society on Jewish lines. It is possible, says Rabbi Sacks, to live a Jewish life in Manchester or Muncie, Madrid or Minsk. You can live a Jewish life in those places, but it is always a truncated experience. Only in Israel do Jews conduct their lives in the language of the Bible, within time defined by the Jewish calendar, and in space saturated in Jewish history. Only there in Israel do Jews form the majority. Only there are they able to construct a political system, an economy, an environment on the template of Jewish values. There alone can Judaism be what it is meant to be. It is not meant to be only a code of conduct. It is also and essentially the architectonics of society. Israel's existence can never be taken for granted. Time and again, its people, surviving challenges, would experience this as a miracle. Small geographically, it's smaller than New Jersey. And demographically, there's less people than the city of New York, I think. It would depend on outstanding achievement. Its survival depends on miracles and outstanding achievement, politically, militarily, and economically on the part of the people. This success depends on their moral and sense of mission. Vayahas kalev asa'am le'mor. Tova ha'aretz ma'od ma'od. Im chafeitz Hashem banu. Nuchal la'alot. This in turn depends on their moral and their sense of mission. Miyad. B'masa zeh harishon nasu al menas likanes la'aretz Yisrael. U'mipnei ma shatav Moshe es atzmo imahem. Sha'adayin lo nigzor alav agzera v'gisavur. Who kisavaru, shehu nichnas imam. Yosima nachnu ala makum, asher amar Hashem, oso etein lachem, lecha itanu v'itafnu lach. It depends on our moral and our sense of mission. Do you know where you're going, where you belong, where we're supposed to be? The prophets knew naturally as well as supernaturally through Ruach HaKodesh that without social justice, without a sense of divine vocation, we are here because God put us here. We're fulfilling the job God wants us to fulfill. Whatever else you do is secondary to the divine vocation. You've been divinely appointed as a Jew in this world to live by sanctifying God's name, to know where you belong, to try to get to Eretz Yisrael. Mipnei manis ava Moshe, likonis la'aretz. He didn't want katsafa or kanafa or chalva or all the delicious foods that they have. The Gemara says, Harbe mitzvos nitzdava Yisrael ve'enon miskayamin ala ba'aretz. We have to understand, we are on a divine vocation. If we don't realize this, we will fall and suffer exile again. Look at this last paragraph. There is a directness, a naturalness of Jewish experience in Israel that can be found nowhere else. There's a directness, a naturalness of Jewish experience in Israel that can be found nowhere else. History tells us that the project of constructing a society under divine sovereignty, is it easy to construct a society under divine sovereignty? It is a vulnerable land. It is the highest of high risk strategies. You got an investment banker, you consult with a financial advisor, and he says, listen, this plan sounds nice, but it's the highest of all high risks. Are you sure you want to take the high risk? Maybe we should go for something that's a little high risk, but you'll still get return. History tells us that the project of constructing a society under divine sovereignty in a vulnerable land is the highest of high risk strategies. Yet across 40 centuries, Jews always knew it was a risk worth taking. For only in Israel is God so close that you can... Let's try and get through this paragraph. For only in Israel Is God so close that you can feel him in the sun and the wind? Sense him just beyond the hills. Hear him in the inflections of everyday speech. Breathe his presence in the early morning air. And live both dangerously and confidently under the shadow of his wings. Let's finish with these psukim from Yirmiyahu. The end is very famous. The beginning, I'm not sure. Shimu dvar Hashem goyim, v'hagidu ba'ayim mimerchak. Listen up, all you nations. Listen to the word of God. Proclaim it in the distant islands. V'imru, and they will say, Mizara Yisrael yikabsenu, the scattered of Israel will be gathered. U'shamra kiroa edro, they will be guarded by God, like a shepherd guards his flock. God will remember and redeem Bnei Yisrael. He will redeem them from a hand that is stronger than them. They will come and rejoice in the heights of Zion. They will stream to the goodness of God. Al dagon, on grain. Al tirosh, al yitzer, wine and oil. Al bnei tzon ubakar, and sheep and cattle. V'haisha nafsham kin gan reva. Their souls, when we return to Tzion, will be like a watered garden. V'lo yosifu l'da'ava od. We will not continue to worry, to groan, to cry, to suffer anymore. Az tismach besula b'machol. Then the virgin daughter who has fallen and cannot rise will rise again. She will rejoice with her dancing. Ubachurim uzkenim yachtav, and young men and old men together. One second. The hafachti avlam the sason. I will turn their mourning to rejoicing. As of yesterday afternoon, it is 2,875 days, 12 hours, 52 minutes, and 57 seconds that Hadar Golden and Oren Shaul have been in captivity. It is 2,000 years almost that our nation has been in exile. And God promises in the end of days that all the nations will hear. It will be declared in the faraway islands, and the scattered of Israel will be gathered. And Hashem will guard us like a shepherd guards his flock. Hashem will redeem us and save us from a hand stronger than us. We will come to the heights of Zion. We will stream to the goodness of God. There will be grain. There will be wine. There will be oil. There will be sheep and cattle. Our souls will be like a watered garden. We will not continue to worry anymore. And then the virgin daughter of Israel will rejoice with her dances. And the young men and the old men will rejoice together. And our mourning will be turned to rejoicing. V'nichamtim, I will finally comfort them, says God. V'simachtim, I will cause them to have simcha. Miyugonam, from all of their worries. Virivesi nefesh hakohanim dasha, and the kohanim will once again be serving atop our habayis. Their souls will be satiated. Va'ami estuvi yispa'unu mashem, my nation, you will be full of my goodness, promises God. That's the introductory psukim to the more famous ending. Ko amar Hashem, ko berama nishma. Nehi b'chi tamrumim, Rachel mevaka al baneha. A voice is heard on high, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is crying for her children. How do the Golden and Shaul families go to sleep at night? How do they put one foot in front of the other? What happened to the nuns of our destiny? What happened to the nuns of Moshe Rabbeinu's life? No sima nachnu. What happened to the 100 of Avram's lechucha? And she's crying. And Hashem says, why don't you stop crying? And she says, How could I stop crying? I refuse to be comforted, God. Ki einenu. How could I be comforted when Ron or Rod does not have kavura? When Ali Cohen, our spy in Damascus, is still held and his remains there? How could I not cry when the ticker on Hadar Golden's webpage goes up every second for almost 3 full years? Ko amar Hashem. Hashem says, don't worry, Rachel. Minikolich mi bechi. Beinaich mi dima. Hold your voice back from tears. Hold your eyes back from crying. Ki yesh schar lepulateich. In the end of days, the nuns will be reverted. And we will be redeemed. Miyad. Od shloshe yamim. Nichnasim la'aretz. Ne'um Hashem. V'shavu me'eretz oyev. They will come back. There is hope for the end, swears Almighty God. Vishavu banim legvulam, and sons will return to their borders. We should just be zocha that this almost 2,000-year galus, the nun should be go back in place. Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu aivecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha, and the bias gol tzedek. We should all be zocha to be where we're supposed to be. We should see Hadar Golden and Oren Shaul, Ba'ezrat Hashem, finally come home. And we all have to know where we are now and where we're supposed to be. Remember the schedule. There is Shir next week. I said in the beginning, but there's many more people here, so I'm going to repeat it again. There is Shir next week. Okay? Tell you the schedule. Yes, June 23rd. No Shir June 30th. No Shir July 7th. We resume July 14th, Be'ezrat Hashem. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a good Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom.